It is my privilege and pleasure to share in your service today. I know I'm a stand-in for someone else, but it's lovely to be with you, and especially with Pamela and Brian. I've known them for quite some time, and I want to thank them publicly for the influence they've had on my son and daughter, Greg and Jane. And as young people, they attended CEF and went to CEF training, and by the love and encouragement of Brian and Pamela and others, they both now are committed to Christ and serving him with the gifts that they have. And thank you for the part that you played in that. A link in the chain, and that's so important that we all have a part to play. Today I want us to think about some verses from Colossians chapter 1. In verse 6 we read, "All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth." And really, I want to start by sharing how this is seen in and through the work of PW. Because the work of PW is growing and bearing fruit. And then later on, we'll consider some of the other verses as to what God is saying to us in this passage. The work of PW is growing and bearing fruit because of the faithful support, both prayerfully and financially, of the women in each congregation. Some people think that the main things that happen in our church happen centrally in assembly buildings, as it's now called, but it doesn't. The main work of our church is among its people, in congregations. And I want to thank the ladies here for the part that they have played, because we do appreciate your prayerful and financial support. However, in 2017, the overall amount donated has decreased by a significant amount. It's actually in the region of £50,000 from the previous year. Now, there's all sorts of reasons as to why that is, but we would ask for your prayerful support of this, because it does have an impact on the grants that we give to others. But let me tell you how your donations are used. And also, I think it's an opportunity for the wider congregation just to have a better idea of what PW actually is involved in. Your donations support the administration of PW, the resourcing and equipping of women. This includes our annual meetings in May, PW forums and other conferences. Last month at our PW forum, we had Rachel Jones sharing about her book, Five Things to Pray For. And it's to pray using God's word as the impetus for our prayers. She's written several books, and at our annual meeting in May, three of these books will be on special offer. There are Five Things to Pray For Your Church, Five Things to Pray For God's World, and Five Things to Pray For the People You Love. And all the prayers are scripture-based. And I know already that many people have been challenged by these. So look out at our annual meeting, ladies, and you'll be able to purchase those. Though I think they're going to be made wider available as well. They'll probably be advertised through the church website and probably in congregations as well. One of the main resources we produce each year is Inspirations. It's produced by PW members. It's written by PW ladies. And it contains programs and ideas for use at meetings and other events. This year, we've taken a slightly newer, approach. And there's maybe not as much prescribed material, but more ideas and things that you can adapt to suit your own grip here. Then, of course, our Wider World magazine, which is read not only by PW members, but many others, is produced four times each year and contains lots of interesting and exciting articles. I want to introduce to you Suzanne Simpson, our new PW support officer, and she is the new editor of Wider World and also will, after a period of time, be able to come out to PW groups to encourage them in their work. We're also hearing in our prayers there about South Belfast Friendship House, and it's great to know that the ladies here are praying for that. We're giving an annual grant to the Council of Mission in Ireland as they support the work of Friendship House. There's a new role there with the Reverend William Harkness, who's the Minister of Great Victoria Street. He now also has responsibilities for Friendship House. Pardon me. Elizabeth Matthews, retired deaconess, has been helping out since the retirement of Jenny Robinson. But this is only a temporary measure, and they're hoping to have a project worker in post soon. Hopefully it'll be advertised again soon. But each year, PW also supports special projects. And this year, it is the training of deaconesses at Union Theological College. We have three trainee deaconesses, Paula Burrows, Louise Davison, and Sylvia Santos Bryce. Do pray for them as they adjust to the life of study and having to prepare assignments. And also as they're training alongside ministerial students, sometimes that can be a little bit threatening, maybe not the right word, but a little bit, I suppose, unnerving for them. But do pray for them as they progress in that. And as they look forward to their summer placements, when they actually then will be shadowing deaconesses and getting more to grips with what deaconesses actually do. We all know that local and global mission has been at the heart of PW. And each year we give grants to Council of Mission in Ireland and Council for Global Mission to support this important area of mission. Again, as in our prayers, we were praying for the deaconesses as they serve God in many areas of church life and local communities. In particular, I wanted you to pray for Heidi England. She has just completed her probationary year, and she's now going to start work in the Ulster Hospital and also McGabbrae and Hyde Bank prisons. And as you can imagine, she probably is a little bit apprehensive, but do pray that she will have wisdom in her conversations with both patients and inmates. And pray also just for her working relationship with other colleagues, that also would be a tremendous witness to Christ. Overseas, PCI has many links with different churches and organizations. They actually have links with in 25 countries around our world. Currently, there are 33 adults engaged in mission in various ways, serving in 11 countries. But as well as those who are serving through PCI, there's another 140 Presbyterians from 70 different congregations across Ireland, and they're serving with independent mission agencies in over 55 countries worldwide. It's still a very important part of our work as believers to be involved in mission at home and overseas. Do pray for Alan and Tracy Johnson. They've been working in Porto Mantovano in Italy, but they will be coming home at the end of May, having served 4 years as part of the Ignite program. They don't know where God is leading them and to what he is leading them into. So pray that they would know God's guidance as to what he would have for them in the next days, weeks, and months. Also, Peter and Jane Fleming, they've gone to Nepal in recent weeks. Last weekend, we got an urgent prayer request as they'd ran out of water. They couldn't get their pump to work, and it was going to be 4 days before they would be able to get water again. Many people did pray, and God did intervene in that situation, and they were able to get 1,000 litres of water the next day. So prayer makes all the difference in the world. So do continue to pray for them as they adjust to life in Nepal. I want to thank the women in this congregation for your support of PW. But I also want to remind you of our volunteer bank. And that gives opportunity for women to volunteer to help at PW events. There's also the opportunity to serve on some of our subgroups, like Resources or Wider World, or in the PW panel. You might be asked to help with stewarding and practicalities at meetings. And we're also looking for people who have interest in finance, IT, music, or drama. So if there's any of the ladies who have a little bit of spare time and who would like to be involved in a more practical way, do speak to Pamela, or go onto the PW website and you'll find this form, or you can get it from the PW office, and you can play a part in the work of PW in a wider way. I wonder if I asked the ladies here, are you involved in women's ministry? You mightn't think that you are, but if you're a follower of Christ, and as you seek to live out that life, the truth of the gospel among each other, you are involved in women's ministry. The author Jen Wilkins says that women's ministry is ministry among women in the context of the Word and the church. All that we do in women's ministry and in PW is based on Scripture, but it must also be done within the church. It's part of a congregation's responsibility to reach out, to build up its members, and to reach out to others. And if you're involved in doing that as a woman, you're involved in women's ministry. And if you're doing that as a man, you're involved in men's ministry. Each one of us who are a follower of Jesus, God has placed us where we are. And whether it's in the workplace, our homes, our communities, those we meet in the context of everyday life, God wants us to be his ambassadors there for him. As we've already heard, the theme this year is grow and bear fruit. And at this time of year, even with the snow, as we look around, we see that there are things growing. There's the flowers pushing up even through the snow. We see the bushes and the trees. We see animals. We see the lambs in the fields. We see things growing. In September, I joined the group of proud grannies. My son had a little baby, and his wife had a little baby boy, and my daughter and her husband had a little baby girl within just 2.5 weeks of each other. So I have been watching how they have been growing, and I know grannies and grandads are keen to see the growth of their grandchildren. They seem to develop and change every few days, whether it's that first smile, their gurgling noises, facial expressions, and just greater interaction with others. All these are the signs of growth that we see in babies as they grow. But what about spiritual growth? What does that look like? Can it be measured by our church attendance, our giving, our involvement in church organizations or other areas of church life? I believe in these verses in Colossians 1 that we can learn something about spiritual growth. In his letter to the church at Colossae, Paul, he's writing to them and he's heard about their faith. He's never actually met them personally. But after his opening greeting, Paul shares his prayer for them, for these young believers. In verses 3 to 8, he thanks God for their faith in Christ Jesus, their love for all the saints, and the hope that's laid up for them in heaven. And then verses 9 and 10, Paul prays this request for them. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. In this prayer, Paul tells us what he is praying for. And then he also tells us how this should be seen or manifested in their lives. Paul's prayer is that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That's a complete filling, a totally controlled filling. And he wants the Colossians to know this through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's not just a head knowledge about who God is, it's a heart knowledge. It's not a knowledge about facts about God. It's about that heart knowledge, that heart that changes how we act each and every day. And this knowledge comes from the reading and studying of God's word. And he is the one himself who gives the spiritual wisdom and understanding. James tells us in his first chapter, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. So Paul prays this prayer in order that the Colossians will, and there's four things: live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So let's look a little bit closer at each of these. First of all, live a life worthy of the Lord. Paul also speaks or uses that same expression when he's writing to the church in Ephesus. And in chapter 4, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For him, that's what a worthy life looks like. What about us as we examine our lives? Are we living a life worthy of the Lord? Is there anything in our lives, our conduct, our speech, our thoughts, that would bring dishonor to God? None of us is perfect, but we need to continually be asking God's forgiveness for those wrong thoughts, those wrong words and actions. And we need the power of his Spirit to enable us to be humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, and seeking to be united with our fellow believers. Secondly, we're to please him in every way. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, states that he himself is not trying to please people, but God. Sometimes we do try to please others rather than please God. But Paul said this: on the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. We may not always please others by what we say. Not everyone wants to hear the truth of the gospel. But we must please God as our first priority. And in his writings, Paul wrote different things and explains different things which please God. Again, in 1 Thessalonians, he said, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Paul gave the instructions. Jesus has given us his instructions on how to live. And obedience to God's teaching, obedience to God's word, pleases God. If we're in a loving relationship with someone, we do want to do those things that please them. The same should be true for a follower of Christ. God has demonstrated his amazing love for us in Christ's death on the cross. And our loving response to that should be to please him in the way that we live, bring obedience as we follow his teaching. Prayer is also something that pleases God. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Saviour. So when we pray, and pray according to God's will, we are pleasing him. And then in Hebrews 11, we read, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who are earnestly seeking him. Faith is the start of pleasing God. It's impossible to please him without having that personal, living faith in Christ. So to please God should be a priority for us as we follow his manual for living, the Bible, as we pray and as we exercise our faith. Thirdly, we're to bear fruit in every good work. One of the best passages, or best known passages about this, is in John 15, where Jesus speaks of God being the gardener. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches which should bear fruit. Because fruit is what God accomplishes through us when we depend on him. And we can only bear fruit if we remain in him. Again, he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And this fruit generally consists of Christ-like character and conduct. When we were talking to the children, we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this fruit is to be seen in every good work, because those good works are the outpouring of God's life within us, flowing through us to others. We also need to remember that we are saved by faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared good works for us to do for him. Again, it reminds us in Matthew that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. This fruit that we produce is the visible life that we live among others, and it must be seen as good fruit in every good work. John Wesley put it like this: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. I think I would need to look at that every morning when I get up, just to remind us the mandate that God has given to us to do good works, to show our faith in action. And then fourthly, growing in the knowledge of God. Some commentators would suggest that there are two meanings here. It can mean that we are growing to know God better, or it can mean that we are growing by knowing God better. The knowledge of God as revealed in his word is crucial to our spiritual growth. Peter wrote, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect of salvation. And as always, the Holy Spirit has its part to play, because it infuses our own efforts with God's enabling grace. What could we do without grace? God's amazing grace. He says in 2 Peter, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's so important that we spend time in God's presence, reading and studying his word, worshiping him, listening and talking to him through prayer, and depending on the work of his Holy Spirit within our lives. Paul does remind us in verse 11 that we don't have to do all this on our own. We are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. This strengthening is a continual infilling of God's power. God doesn't just act like a booster rocket when we come to faith and he gives us that sending out. But as believers, we continually need to have his work within our lives to make us continually serve God. And all power points to the fact that it's an unlimited supply. We don't have to do it on our own. They were told in Acts, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why do we need this strengthening? Because we need great endurance and patience. Life is not an easy journey, as many of you will know. Paul himself had experience of following Christ. He endured suffering. He was imprisoned on several occasions. But he could testify that he was able to rejoice in difficult circumstances because of God's mighty power in his life. When we come to faith, God doesn't promise us an easy life, living just sailing along without any problems. But he has promised that when those difficulties and challenges come along, that he is with us in those, and his power is available to us. As I look at my young grandchildren, I can see that they're growing. The initial baby grows have got too small and tight. They're now starting to sit up, looking as if they might like to crawl, making different noises, and soon they will learn to talk, walk, and run. But what about us? As we think about our lives, maybe we've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe we've only been a Christian, a follower of Christ, for a short time. But wherever we are on the journey, are we growing and bearing fruit? Are we living a life that's worthy of the Lord? Are we pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that it is Your living word. It is the word that changes lives. We thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that it gives us the power to learn from Your word. Lord, allow it to shape our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Lord, help us to become more like Christ so that our lives will draw others to follow Him. Help each one of us to grow and bear fruit for Your honor and glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.